Okay, tribe of Zion, you want to go now? Thank you for our children as we get blessed today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If I were to preach what I wanted to preach, I'll preach something different, but I'm going to do this today. But before I continue, I want Jackson Isabu, I want you to come quickly. I just want to introduce this this young man who just is the newest graduate in this church. He just got his PhD and he defended his thesis. Dr. Jackson Isabu, God bless you. Amen. Thank God for you. Amen. He works with the Sax Power. I don't know whether they need your PhD in Sax Power, though. Amen. But that's good. We thank God for your life. Thank you. Amen. One thing I want to say quickly is the worship today is just absolutely, I just feel like I should just not preach. But I will do it. I want to do it, yes. Because there was just some things. This is called the house of worship prayer. You can see what happened today. Worship and prayer. The Bible did not say that my house shall be called the house of preaching. You do your preaching at home. You make sure you study your Bible. Because Sunday preaching of 30, 40 minutes is not enough to actually carry you. You got to dig into the Word of God. But I just said to say this. It was so wonderful. I mean, we're just in another zone. Totally. Amen. And by the way, there's something about Saskatchewan. I'm not prophesying because of what I know in the natural about Saskatchewan. God has set apart this province, especially to lead this nation. You might think, look at what happened. Thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be least in the clan in Israel, yet out of you shall come what? A savior. Though you might think Saskatchewan is small, that's what you're thinking. But in God's economy, this is a place of greatness. Somebody was telling me that Elon Musk, who is now the billionaire of the world, number one, he has root in Saskatchewan. Did you hear that? Elon Musk. There's something about hidden greatness in this place. But God wants to begin to unveil wealth from this province. Are you hearing me? It won't be because we don't have the numbers. Number has nothing to do with the wealth that God is actually recreating in this province. Amen. Sila, I just said, that's a good one. So today, all over us is Canada. For those that are part of, you know, a coalition of pastors, I want to preach on the biblical design for human sexuality. I am not here to do any gymnastics or to actually go into controversy. I am going to read scriptures and leave it as that. Because when I do, I am preaching to principalities and to powers. I'm making an announcement. Are you hearing me? I'm not getting into debates. I just want to declare the word of the Lord. The counsel of God without my own opinion to it. And Bill C6 and C4 is going to be, if they leave it the way it is injurious to a lot of us. And some of us, a lot of pastors will be in jail. And if that be the case, then at least I'll go to jail not because I stole. It will be because I stood on biblical truth. Are you hearing me? So I'm going to preach this morning on the biblical design for humanity. There are many misunderstandings about what Christianity teaches about human sexuality and sexual relationships. Now, watch it. I am not talking about society, what their understanding is. I'm saying because I submit myself to God and I honor my country. and the leaders. I'm making a disclaimer quickly right now. I am aligned with the divine will of heaven. I take instruction for my own living from heaven, and I don't need anyone to tell me how to live my life. But I will obey the law of the land and honor people that are placed in authority, but I'm not going to submit to anyone wanting to control my life. So I made a disclaimer right here. But I'm preaching now, not on opinion, but based on the word of God. Here it is. During the Victorian era, it was claimed that all sexual acts were sinful unless they were specifically done for the purpose of procreation. Others have claimed that the original sin was sexual acts, represented by the eating of the forbidden fruit. All these ideas are without biblical basis. The purpose of what I want to preach today is to present a biblical Christian view of human sexuality. Number one, the first command of God is this. The very first command God gave to humans was be what? Fruitful and multiply. It's still in the Bible. It has not been removed. I'm not reading my opinion. I'm not reading for another book. I'm reading from the Bible. Although, and it says, fill the earth. And that word has not changed because that word is like a chain reaction and it's still happening today. Tell me how many of us have had children? And how many of our children have had children, children, and children, 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 children? Some of the people that are ruling over us today, they were born of a woman. Womb man. I won't say more than that. A lot of us were born through the womb of a woman. We did not jump from heaven and come down. And we were not made in the laboratory. We are not slime put together for somewhere. And we were created by God, by his spoken word. And I don't believe in what you call that theory. You know what it talk about? Evolution. I didn't evolve from monkey. I know where I evolved from. So let it be, like I said, sila. First command. Although we do not usually think of this command in terms of accomplishment, I'm talking about be fruitful and multiply. It's a command for males. It didn't say command for the other sex. It's a command for males and females to engage in sexual relation to produce children. That's what the Bible says. Some have taken this command to either as requiring that couples must never prevent conception, or that the sole purpose of sexual relation is to produce children. Neither of these interpretations are specific in scripture, and in fact are contradicted by other biblical passages. But why did God create humans? I gave you the first command. Second, why did God create humans? Why? Why did he create monkeys? Why did he create birds? Where did he do everything he did in creation? But why did he create humans? The Bible says that God created humans because he desires to enjoy his children. He wants to have a relationship. The object of his love is humanity. God cannot help himself but to share the love he has. Even so, like God, like your father, like you, why do you parents love your children? Why is it that I cannot take your child and spank your child before you? And you're looking at me and say, yeah, good. Spank my daughter more. No, you want to fight me. Mama Bear want to get up and... why do animals protect their young ones? Instinctively is there by God, put there by God. They fight you. They might die trying to save their little one. Isn't it what's happening today? Why do you love your children? Why is it that you cannot kick your child out and say, go to Pastor Femi and live with Pastor Femi? Because that child doesn't resemble me. It doesn't come from me. But when it comes from your loins, you always want to hold on to that child because it's yours. No, you don't own that child. You are just a steward. Therefore, God designed human sexuality to produce children who were to be raised in a godly manner to seek after him. Why do you not give your child out and say, out of my house, I've given back to you. I don't want to have any responsibility over you. Kick that kid and say, foster home, go there. Or go to, places where, the homeless go. And just say, go, you're homeless now. You cannot do that. Even as much as you might be wicked, you don't want to do that. You cannot do that. Why? There's something innate in you that wants to protect. The Bible says, "He has not the Lord God made them one?" That's what it says. In flesh and in spirit, they are his. And why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. The institution of marriage or the marriage relationship and human sexuality was commenced in the beginning of the pair of human beings as a temporal institution. A marriage covenant was designed from the beginning so that children would be raised in a godly manner by the parents. Not to be raised by dogs and monkeys. Sexual relations. The original sin. Is that the original sin? Watch this. Genesis chapter 2 describes a detailed account of creation of humans in the Garden of Eden. The location of which the text places it in Mesopotamian plain. The marriage covenant is spelled out in the original narrative that describes the meeting of the first man and woman. Genesis 2. Let's read Genesis 2, 22 to 25. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man. I didn't write this, guys. God fashioned the woman from the rib that was taken from a man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, womb man, because she was taken out of man. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. In contrast to the claims of some people, the sexual sin was not the original sin, as indicated in the above passage. You just read it. The Hebrew word, dabag, translated cleave, is a verb describing the closeness that should exist between a husband and a wife. That's the closeness he was talking about. A man shall cleave unto his wife. He's talking about intimacy. He's talking about the union, the closeness that exists between man and woman. That's what he said. He didn't say between you and your dog. Hello? I don't say you should not like your dog. And love your dog. I don't care what you do with your dog. But it's not talking about that closeness here. He didn't say dog. He said womb man. This describes both physical and emotional closeness. That closeness we're talking about is both physical and emotional. The next phrase, they shall become one flesh, refers to the sexual relationship, flesh to flesh. To reinforce the idea that Adam and Eve were engaging in a sexual relation, the text says that both were naked and were not ashamed. Clear from scriptures. The temptation by Satan that led to the original sin occurred in the following chapter. The sin was committed as a direct result of disobedience of the only rule God had made for Adam and Eve. The Bible actually encourages married couples to enjoy their sexual relationship within marriage. Nobody can tell me I should not do that. There's no law that forbids that. The New Testament confirms that sexual relations within a marriage is not sinful. It's not. Paul says that those who marry have not sinned. The writer of the Hebrews states, marriage shall be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, indicating that sexual relations within the marriage are pure and not sinful. Selah. But what is sexual relationship in marriage? Let's go there. The Bible discusses the responsibility of husbands and wives in marriage. It says that husbands and wives do not have authority over their own bodies, but must submit their bodies to their spouse and must not deny each other sexually. We know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 3 to 5. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to his husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. He's talking about mutuality here. He didn't say, husband, you're the only one that has right over the body of that woman. It's vice versa. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for the time that you have. You may devote yourself to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of lack of self-control. Clear from scriptures. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 to 5. Fidelity in marriage is emphasized throughout the New Testament. Very clear. So what's the command to your husband? The Christian marriage is arranged in a manner similar to that of the Christian church. Throughout the New Testament, the husband is commanded to love his wife. The manner and extent of the devotion is given as just as Christ loved the church and gave up for her. Christ gave himself to the church. That's why we partook of this communion element today, communion table today. That's the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is his blood. He gave it to us freely. And therefore, husbands, that's what the Bible says. Love your wife as though you are giving yourself totally in service and rendering service to her. Love her. Care for her. Just as Jesus Christ gave himself to the church. Husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. You know what? I cannot take the knife and begin to cut my body. If I cannot do that to myself, I should not be abusing my wife. All you physical abusers, I'm not talking about this church. I'm speaking to the heavens. Hello? Are you hearing me? I'm not talking to you directly. I'm talking to heaven. You cannot take a knife and begin to stab yourself if you're not deranged. As much as you're not deranged, you do not take a knife and begin to strike yourself. Then why take any physical instrument and begin to beat your wife? Just evil. Just animalistic. Animals actually care. Oh, really? Where did we get this thing from of abusing, physical abuse and taking, you know, fisticuffs as though we are fighting in a boxing ring and kicking the wife? He didn't say we should do that. Again, I'm speaking to principalities and powers. Watch this. In other passages, husband ought to love their wives as their own bodies and must love his wife as he loves himself. In other passages, husbands are commanded to love your wives and do not be harsh with them, and be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. But there's a command for the wife as well. Wives are commanded to submit to their husbands. Submission is not a popular word among women these days because it's been twisted. And I don't blame you when you hear submission. I'm not going there with you. I understand. Okay? Because it's been misused. But how do you submit to Jesus Christ? How do you submit to Christ? It's not forced. It's reverential. It's an act of your own will. So submission is not necessary because I'm going to be subservient. No. Submission is simply, is mutuality. To the degree that you are following Christ, to the degree that you have authority, is to, and you're wielding it with love and with compassion and empathy, is to the degree that I begin to say, I trust my husband. This is all submission is about trust. It's not saying, okay, ride on me. I'm just club me down because I'm submitting myself. I'm not talking about that. The Bible also says, wives should respect her husband. Peter says, wives ought to submit to their husband so that they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When you see the purity and reverence of your lives, when they see that, I'm telling you what, you can actually win by your humility. Humility wins everything. But then he says, there's a command for the husband, there's a command for the wife, but there's a command for the two of them together. I love it. What's the command? 1 Peter 3:8. Peter ends his discussion of the responsibility of husbands and wives with the following instruction for both. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and be humble. Clear for both of you. And of course, we can go ahead and talk about divorce and things like that, but I'm not talking about divorce today. I'm just laying the biblical pattern and design of God for sexuality. I told you this is an unusual preaching, but this is what I want to do. I read scripture out, and I'm making some clear sound. Finally, God invented sex and commanded it to be. He commanded it to the first male and female in the Bible that he created. It didn't start with you knowing that you can have sex. It started way before you were born, way before you ever knew you were coming to this planet Earth. It was a design of God. However, sexual relations were intended to be enjoyed within the bounds of marriage. Marriage was intended to be for a lifetime, and divorce was allowed only under some limited and specific circumstances. I'm not going to controversy. I will not stay in a marriage if I'm being abused. I can tell you that. I will not submit to abuse. Well, they say, well, you just persevere. And no. When somebody is violent and wants to kill you, you better take your bag and baggage and run out. I give you permission. I can say that anywhere. I mean, somebody wants to kill you, literally, knife today, knife tomorrow, and you say there, you're foolish. And you say, Bible says I should not divorce. I didn't say you divorce. Get out first. Use your common sense. Use common what? Sense. It's called common sense. It's not necessary in the Bible. It's just common sense. You got some common sense. I will get out. No argument, no argue, no, I'm not fighting back, I'm not kicking back, I'll take my stuff, I'm out. Within marriage, both husbands and wives are to provide for their partner's sexual needs and not withhold themselves from one another in order to reduce temptation. It's clear in the Bible. Marriage was designed by God as an analogy between God and the church. I will stand by this one ever. Marriage clearly was designed by God to show us the analogy between him and the church, Jesus Ecclesia. His sperm birthed the church, and that's why the church cannot be destroyed. And that's why you cannot be destroyed as well. You are indestructible. When you go out of this flesh, you are gone. Somewhere you're going to him, to be present with him. That's why the church, the ecclesia, cannot be destroyed. Because it was not, it's not your church. You didn't give birth to church, to this church. The sperm of the Almighty God gave birth to the church called the ecclesia, and it cannot be destroyed. Nations can try, but they will not, they cannot succeed. Again, lastly, the institution of marriage was designed by God as an analogy between God and the church, where God is the husband and he cares for and loves the ecclesia, his wife. Ladies and gentlemen, I announce to you, men, love your wives. And women, in return, love your husband. That is the end of the matter. And that is what I preach. And it's out there in the skies. If I go to jail, I go to jail. But I'm not going to go to jail for this. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
God bless you. We're done. I see everyone's still sitting here. Oh, Friday, there's prayer, 6 o'clock. Yeah, a corporate prayer on Friday. All right. Have a blessed week.